So I inherited a large 1968 Magnavox stereo. My wife and I brought it back from my grandfather's estate in her Subaru Forester, and it fit. We did not unload it last night. We said we would wait till today and recruit you to help us.
Right.
And so Allie was out shopping and closed the lift gate on her car a little too forcefully and cracked out the back window.
And when I was arriving, you were doing some redneck auto body work.
That's
right. With duct tape and plastic.
Correct.
But you know what I say about glass?
What's that?
It's meant to be broken.
Yeah.
And this is not a glass ceiling podcast. Welcome to Season 7, Episode 4 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs...
like us.
...decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Ali Travar.
Uh-huh.
A.K.A. Travidian Languages.
Okay.
Spoken by 24% of the population.
Nice.
A.K.A. Tandoori Travis.
Tandoori Travis. I love that. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and co-producer, Biyar Malik. Biyar Malik, which is Hindi and roughly translates as beer boss.
Oh, I love it.
And we're not joined by our Chop Shop regular today. She's got some things going on. But her nickname, Chelsea's nickname, would have been Niamit Atithi, or regular guest in Hindi. Further description of the show, the tagline says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes, reboots, sequels, all of that nonsense. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right. So I asked you earlier, and it didn't look like you had an example, but I've got a really good example of an unnecessary remake.
Hit it.
And it's one that you mentioned the original version of recently, Around the World in 80 Days. There was a 2004 remake with Jackie Chan and Steve Coogan. Now, not discounting the talents of either of those individuals, but it was not a necessary remake of the 1956 classic with David Niven and Shirley MacLaine that won 5 Oscars.
Yeah.
So that is this week's example of an unnecessary remake, which brings us to movie news. And this is where Sean and I, throughout the week, try to pay attention to news stories that we think that our listeners might find interesting or maybe that apply to the subject of our show. And we want to start it off with an RIP. This is right on the heels, well, fairly close on the heels of our recent David Cronenberg episode. His sister, Denise Cronenberg, one of the all-time great costume designers, has passed away. And do we know what she passed away from?
I didn't catch that.
But we do know and recognize and celebrate her work, especially in the movie Dead Ringers.
Oh, yeah.
The costume design in that was amazing. So rest in peace and rest in power to Denise Cronenberg. Next, we've got, on a lighter note, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2, the sequel, production is underway ahead of a 2022 release. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. Phil Lord and his crew do a great job with that movie, property. And in my mind, it's probably the best Marvel property out there.
And celebrates diversity in a genre that is sometimes lacking.
Yep, true.
God help us, the Winklevoss?
Winklevoss.
The Winklevoss twins are co-producing a movie about their Bitcoin journey. And what was it you said about this?
I'll take movies I didn't ask to see for $1,000, Alex.
Yes. Speaking of movies that nobody asked to see, Tommy Wiseau says that Netflix turned down the opportunity to stream his film The Room.
I wonder why.
I mean, it seems like it's got enough of a cult following now.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a good one to add.
Yeah. Next, Sam Raimi's Evil Dead is returning to drive-ins across the country beginning on June 13th, which I think is great.
Yeah, anytime we get some drive-in movie news, that's good news for us.
And this last story is kind of timely considering our subject today. Bollywood actors called out for protesting racism while promoting skin whitening creams.
Yeah, that one's dicey.
Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, and I'm not trying to split hairs here, and I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit. nobody gets mad at white people for trying to make their skin darker. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. Yeah.
All right. So with that, as soon as the phone rings, and I think I hear it now, that means it's time for the Department of Corrections with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Hey, Choppers. How you doing? Sorry, Chelsea. I didn't mean to make you paranoid about your language, but your choice to be more wholesome with Beach Movies Ep was an appropriate move since they're also squeaky clean, so well done. Justin Guarini is better known these days as Lil Sweet from the Diet Dr. Pepper ads. Buster Keaton was roughly 70 when he starred in How to Stuff a Wild Bikini. You know who else was in that film? Uncle Leo himself, Len Lesser. Jerry, hello! Little Stevie Wonder was also in Muscle Beach Party. I've always heard Gidget's portrayer's name pronounced as Sandrity. The Great is on Hulu. Pacific Blue was the so-called Baywatch on bikes on USA. Until next time, hang loose, Choppers. You're the ginchiest.
All right. Thank you, Dana. And I don't know if you realize this, but Lil Sweet is also my prison nickname. So thank you for all of your hard work, and that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections for this week, which brings us to the theme of our episode. For no particular reason, this week we're talking about Bollywood movies. And we have something of a treat for our listeners in terms of an introduction, right?
Yeah, because you nor I are Bollywood experts.
Not at all.
And I know of two people who know considerably more than I do, and they both exist in the podcast universe, and it's Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband from the podcast Checkered Past.
All right, so let's hear from them for a brief introduction about Bollywood movies.
Well, let's put experts in quotation marks.
Yeah, let's call ourselves experts.
I mean, as far as like white guys go who know anything about Bollywood movies and have an appreciation for Bollywood movies, in our circle of friends, yeah, we're pretty much experts. But as we do have friends who are Indian or married to Indian people, and we are absolute novices when it comes to that culture.
So there's always a lot of big musical numbers, like big, big, big,
huge,
like hundreds of dancers and huge choreography and huge set pieces. And I think that's probably a lot of what we like about it, that it sort of evokes that classic Hollywood
1950s,
Busby
40s.
Berkeley-esque kind of production number.
Yeah, with modern music. And there's nothing like it in America. I mean, even like, what was that L.A. story, La La Land?
Uh-huh.
Has nothing on any Bollywood movie.
Hello.
And they're made by the hundreds. Every Bollywood musical that we really like, movie that we really like, I said musical, but I meant movie.
Right.
Is like the biggest movies of the 1940s. And it's not unusual to start with like two people in a love scene that just opens up into 10, that opens up into 20, that opens up into hundreds of people. Like, it's incredible. The settings are quite unique depending upon the story. So,
that's what I was going to say. There's no, I mean, if you think of an American musical, it kind of fits into an easy genre, but these could be sci-fi or crime.
So tell me, how did you guys get into Bollywood films?
It was 2001 or 2001. Yeah. There was a snowstorm and we were living in Laurel, Maryland at the time. And in a high rise, we were in grad school for our doctorates, and there was a terrible snowstorm. And what happened, Bob?
There was a Blockbuster video down the street, so we had to like dig through the snow to walk down to the Blockbuster. And I don't know, there was just this Bollywood movie on the shelf, and
I don't know why we thought we decided to get it. We'd never seen.
Oh, I know why.
Why?
So we used to go to the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there were a lot of Indian Americans who worked at the Dunkin' Donuts. And every time Rob went in, he would get either an extra donut
or
extra egg on his breakfast sandwich or extra piece of sausage.
They give it to me.
Just for free. And finally, one day he asked why he was getting all this free stuff. And they said, well, it's because you're an undercover cop, right? Then we just became fascinated. And there's a lot of Indians in that neighborhood. And there was a movie theater that showed Bollywood down the street.
So we've been talking about it, and so we had the snowstorm, and the whole place was locked, was just shut down. But Blockbuster was open; we could see it from our balcony across the parking lot of the mall. It was so we went over there and slid our way on the ice and got there and rented a Bollywood movie, and it was Lagan, which is if anybody knows anything about Bollywood movies, it is one of the most popular ones. It was made in 2001, and the male star is Aamir Khan. He's huge. He has been in at least 57 movies. Yeah, and his Indian co-star was Gracie Singh, who's been in 15 movies. But Aamir Khan is one of the most, like, one of the biggest contemporary Bollywood movie stars.
But Lagan was, even for the time, was a huge budget for a Bollywood movie. And
probably 3 hours long.
It's about 4 hours
long. 4 hours long. Sean, I think you might have seen it. We might have shown it to you. The scale is huge, and the musical numbers are huge, and then you get this fantastic movie music. Like, one of the most prolific composers alive right now is A.R. Rahman. The initials A.R. and Rahman, R-A-H-M-A-N, and he is a superstar. He's John Williams. He's like the John Williams of American cinema. Except that he's done like 20 times more things than John Williams has done, as far as the amount of work he's produced. We've made a short list of movies that we've seen that we could remember. We saw Lagan in 2001 with Aamir Khan and Grace Singh, and then Krish, K-R-I-S-H, which is a big superhero movie in 2006, and that was with Hrithik Roshan, So he's been in 34 movies. And then his Indian female co-star was Priyanka Chopra. And then Doom 3, D-H-O-O-M 3. And again, that was with Aamir Khan, and that was in 2013. And we saw that in an Indian restaurant, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We went to an Indian restaurant, they had a big multi-course dinner, and showed the movie at the restaurant. That was a lot of fun. And then finally, Mohenjo-Daro, also in 2016, also with Hrithik Roshan. That was really big.
Well, we want to thank Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband for joining us and giving us some insight into Bollywood film for those of us who are rank amateurs. And tell us more about the podcast, Bob.
Well, it's called Checker Past, and we explore the checkerboard mast-headed DC Comics that ran from February 1966 to August 1967. Mostly we just talk about ourselves and our lives, and then a little bit about comics.
Good deal. Everybody check that one out, and we want to thank both of you for joining us today.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Rob and Bob, for that. We appreciate your input, and hope that everybody is well. And so, we're going to be talking about Bollywood movies today. I had not really delved into the subject prior to this week's research.
Me neither.
I think that we were talking last week, and I was like, can you count Slumdog Millionaire as a Bollywood movie? And I think, no, you can't, because it's made by a Western director, even though it was kind of set in that same atmosphere and realm as a lot of these movies. But I really kind of enjoyed what I watched this week.
Oh, yeah.
I very enjoyed dramatic, lots of musical interludes.
Melodrama would be the one word I would use, but also high production value.
Uh-huh, for sure. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and talk about our double features. If we had to choose two movies that are within the subject that would warrant being shown back-to-back, like in a double feature. And what did you come up with this week, Sean?
Well, first of all, a disclaimer. I'm going to butcher some names
Me
today.
Me too, for
okay,
sure.
So no offense to anybody at
we
home.
We mean no disrespect.
Absolutely. The first one I picked is from 2006. It's called Rang de Basanti.
Mm-hmm.
And this stars the aforementioned Aamir Khan, the giant of Bollywood.
He's like the George Clooney of Bollywood.
It's like you took George Clooney and Tom Cruise and any other big name actor and just rolled him into a really cool guy. I've seen several of his films in the last week, and I really enjoyed his work.
He's got a lot of charisma.
So this is a story of six young Indians who assist an English woman in a film documentary about freedom fighters during the revolution, the Indian Revolution of the early 1900s. And it was footage, or I'm sorry, it was a story that her grandfather documented, and she was trying to make this documentary. And in the process of recounting and reliving this revolution, they actually kind of cross paths with another modern day revolution having to do with political corruption. And the young men in the film, it's kind of a young men ensemble cast of about four or five guys. They do the right thing,
okay,
essentially, and kill the corrupt official and pay the ultimate price for it. But in doing so, they kind of pull back the veil of justice and let people see what's really happening.
Yeah.
And the movie kind of ends on this note of, you know, it sucks that people have to sacrifice themselves in order to push things forward in a progressive fashion. And of course, I watched this right in the wake of all of the demonstrations and uprising. And it really hit home with me to see this paralleled in today's, and it's kind of like a universal theme.
Right. And so they're drawing parallels between the historical context and the issues that are happening in their everyday lives.
So I highly recommend this one. It's really good. It really, really hit me right in the feelies.
Very cool.
And I'm pairing that with another Amir Khan film from 2014 called PK.
Okay.
And this one's a little quirky. He's an alien who has come to Earth and gets his transporter beacon stolen from him.
Okay.
And so he has to kind of wander the city and figure things out. And since he kept being told by people that, you know, seek answers from God, he basically took it to heart and was seeking God.
Okay, yeah, you were saying that there was like a spiritual aspect to this.
This is a huge religious journey, and he tries out every single religion available to him. And it's comical, but it's also serious. And he exposes essentially a Western version of a televangelist as being a fraud. And he's the one who has his beacon to get him back home. And it's an eye-opening film about the nature of religion and the nature of the things that we as human beings kind of take comfort in. And it really kind of turns it inside out and takes a good look at it in a satirical way. And as satire goes, this is a really good one. I also recommend this one a lot.
Very nice. All right. Well, I mentioned earlier that I had to do a pull an audible on my double feature because I wasn't able to find the original pairing that I was looking for, but it actually ended up working out because I ended up watching two pretty funny comedies. The first one is highly recommended by me and other people. It's from 2009. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's called Three Idiots, and it also stars Amir Khan. We've got, in college, Farhan and Raju form a great bond with Rancho due to his positive and refreshing outlook on life. Years later, a bet gives them a chance to look up their long-lost friend whose existence seems rather elusive. Now, here's a good way of kind of explaining this character, Rancho. He shows up to engineering school, and on the very first night there, all of the seniors are hazing the freshmen. And so he's like, nope, not going to have that. I'm not getting my butt spanked or whatever. So he runs into his dorm room and very quickly MacGyvers up this electrical device with like some cord and an outlet and a spoon and a ruler. And he puts it down underneath the door so that when one of the seniors comes to try and pee on his door, he gets electrocuted in the dick.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's the kind of hijinks that these guys are getting up to. And as we mentioned, they lose touch with each other, and the rest of the movie is them looking back on their college adventures, but also trying to find their long-lost friend. Spoiler alert, he turns out to be like a reclusive Jeff Bezos-type millionaire character.
So, okay.
Yeah. Then I'm going to pair this with a movie that was not as good, but still entertaining. It's called Bhagam Bhag, Bhagambhag, from 2006. And there's no rating for it on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Priyadarshan. Priyadarshan, one word name, like Cher or Lady Gaga. Shampak, a theater owner, is in need of an actress, and his employees, Bunti and Babla, help him in his search. But they get into trouble after their bag is switched with another one containing drugs. So you've got these two low-level assistants in this theater troupe who basically run off the original female lead from the production because they're, you know, they're trying to hit on her and she's not having it. And so they're tasked with finding her replacement. And in doing so, of course, they get roped into a drug ring. So it's kind of a case of mistaken identity, fish out of water story. Not, like I said, not as good as Three Idiots, but still a fun watch. And that's going to be my Midnight Double feature. It feels weird not having a third person in here.
Yeah, Chelsea, we need you back.
All right, so which I guess we should go ahead and get into the recast, right?
Yeah, do it.
The first movie, hold on to your butts, because it is almost 4 hours long. I think he clocks in at like 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? And it's an epic sports film set in India called Lagaan, L-A-G-A-A-N, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, directed by Ashutosh Gowarikar. The year is 1893, and India is under British occupation. In a small village, the tyrannical Captain Russell, played by Paul Blackthorne, has imposed an unprecedented land tax on his citizen. And the name of the movie actually means agricultural tax.
Right.
Outraged, Bhuvan, played by Amir Khan, a rebellious farmer, rallies the villagers to publicly oppose the tax. Russell offers a novel way to settle the dispute. He challenges Bhuvan and his men to a game of cricket, a sport completely foreign to India. If Bhuvan and his men can defeat Russell's team, the tax will be repealed. What did you think of the movie, Sean?
It was epic.
Yes.
This was produced by Amir Khan. Uh-huh. I get the feeling this was a passion project for him.
Seems like it.
It received a nomination for Best Foreign Film.
Okay.
In that year, correct?
I think so.
And but it is truly a high-stakes sports film.
Yeah. I think when we watched it, I said, this is the plot of Space Jam.
Yeah, it was the plot of Space Jam, and also one of the characters is a bit of a had a disability, a physical disability with one of his arms, which allowed him to throw a curveball, which was pretty cool.
Right.
I said it's kind of like Rudy.
Yeah. Basically, think of any very high stakes sports drama.
But it's good. It is a long film, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool.
All right. Well, let me tell you where I'm heading with my theme for my recast. I'm going to transpose this struggle to the American West around 1850-ish, all right? And so all of the Indian characters are now going to be Native American characters, and the British characters are now going to be like cavalry officers / frontiers people.
Got it.
And they're in a struggle over land, obviously. Native Americans struggling to remain on their land despite the efforts of settlers and U.S. cavalry, they choose to settle the dispute over the newly popularized game of baseball. Because right around this time, baseball became a huge sport in the United States, and within just a few months, it started becoming referred to as the national pastime.
Got it. So I like the idea.
Yeah, these two kind of overlapping things going on in American history. So, should I give you my first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Recast. So we've got Amir Khan, who was 36 at the time, playing Bhuvan Latha. My actor is 34 now, and he is an American actor of Native Alaskan descent, belonging to the Tlingit and Koyukon Athabascan tribes. He was in Magnificent Seven. He was also in Wind River and Beyond the Sky. His name is Martin Sensmeyer.
Oh, yeah.
Martin Sensmeyer.
Yeah. Is that the guy that I showed the picture of him to Hillary and it took her breath away?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So how about your Bhuvan?
All right. I'm going to go with a straight recast of this. And I'm going to be using more familiar, not necessarily Indian, but familiar actors to our audience. But I'm keeping this storyline the same as a historic drama set in India. So my first actor is 42 years old. But as Amir Khan is known for being quite cut and quite fit, my actor is as well. However, he is Pakistani.
Okay.
But everyone loves him, and I think he will get a good box office draw.
Is he recently ripped?
He is recently ripped. he was in the Men in Black International.
Uh-huh.
He was in Stuber.
Yep.
He was in The Big Sick. I'm talking about Kumail Nanjiani.
Kumail Nanjiani is great. I definitely thought about him. And yeah, that would fit, considering his recent transformation in physique.
Exactly.
All right. Next up, we've got the female love interest, even though she's considerably younger than our main character. And she feels overlooked. Her name is Gwari, and she was played by Gracie Singh, who was 21 at the time. My actress is 26 now. She is a Mohawk actress. She's in Rhymes for Young Ghouls. The Sun at Midnight, and the recent zombie movie Blood Quantum, about how only white people were getting the zombie disease and Native peoples or First Nation peoples were immune to it.
Oh, yes.
So her name is Kawinari Devere Jacobs.
And she's wow, a, she's really pretty.
Yeah, she is. And as she...
As is Gracie Singh.
She doesn't even have a mohawk.
That wasn't funny.
I
went with a former Bollywood star.
Okay.
Who has made the jump to being successful in the West. She's 37 years old, so I aged her up quite a bit. But she is 37 to my 42-year-old Bhuvan.
Uh-huh.
She is known in America for her role in... Baywatch the movie, as well as her successful 3-year run on the television series Quantico. I went with Priyanka Chopra.
Very nice.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Yeah, she is. All right, now we're switching it over to the British side of things. First, we've got Rachel Shelley, who is the sister of our evil Captain Andrew Russell. Her character's name is Elizabeth Russell. And she feels that the whole situation is very unfair, and she takes it upon herself to go out and help the villagers learn the game of cricket. And Rachel Shelley was 32 at the time. Who did you decide on for this, Sean?
I kind of started with a face value. This actress reminded me a bit of Andy McDowell when she was very early in her career. But there was also something else about her, with her very piercing eyes, and I went with a favorite of the show. She was 32. I went with a 34-year-old. She is known for her roles in the Percy Jackson films, Texas Chainsaw 3D. She was also in the Baywatch film. But we liked her a lot in the very first season of True Detective.
Oh, yes.
Alexandra Daddario.
Daddario. Love it. You will not get any complaints from me anytime you recast her. My Elizabeth Russell is 32 now. She was in... The Girl on the Train, Hardcore Henry, and also Magnificent Seven. Her name's Haley Bennett. Haley Bennett is going to be
She looks my a Elizabeth little bit Russell. Like
she looks a little bit like the girl in American Gods.
Yes, that's it. That's what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so yeah, she's going to be my Haley Bennett. We got one more, right?
Yep.
We've got Captain Andrew Russell, played by Paul Blackthorne. And if you want to picture what this character is like, just think of Billy Zane in Titanic.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I was so tempted to cast him, but he's much, much too old for that.
So Paul Blackthorne, 32, Captain Andrew Russell, who did you pick?
I went with somebody 47 years old, but he is, he's British.
Okay.
And he kind of has the same face value, the sneer.
Yeah.
God, the sneer was just... just ridiculous on this guy. But this actor is known for his role in Trainspotting, Mindhunters, plural, not the one you think about, Dracula 2000, the television series Elementary. I went with Johnny Lee Miller.
Okay. Yeah. Former husband of Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Very cool. All right. Well, my Captain Andrew Russell... is also 32 now. He's on a lot of TV shows. He's on Supergirl. He's on Containment, The Carrie Diaries, but he was also in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. His name is Chris Wood. Chris Wood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Pretty face value, but I'm picturing him as the snarky cavalry captain.
Oh, yeah.
Who does not see the... forest for the trees.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to say that if you've got the time, this is a recommend.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's a cool flick.
And any final thoughts on Lagan?
No, it's a recommend.
All right. So with that, we're going to go ahead and head into intermission. but not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves
some chicken tikka masala.
And some naan.
Ooh, naan's good.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under-reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply
a podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
And we're back. Thank you, Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us during intermission. And when we come back from intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
Beer check-ins.
And so we were just trying one that's very delicious. Describe that for us.
This is from Parrish Brewing out of Louisiana. This is called Parrish Sunrise, also Sips. This is a Berliner Weiss-style beer with mango, peach, guava, and blood orange.
Is Sips the brewery?
No, Parrish Brewing.
Parrish Brewing, okay. It's very tasty.
It is so chock full of fruit that I almost don't even want to call it a beer or an alcoholic beverage. It's like
a shandy almost.
This is like all the fruit juice you need to get your day going.
And you were also pointing out that it comes in a clear bottle, like an old knee-high or something.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's like this beautiful, but like peach juice. Mm-hmm. That's the color of it.
Yep. So that is very tasty. While we enjoy that, shall we get into the 2020 movie marathon?
Sure.
All right, so this is where Sean and Chelsea and I and whoever else would like to participate try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year. The goal this year being 366 because it is a leap year. And we check those in on Letterboxd and Twitter with the hashtag 2020 Movie Marathon. I do mine on the @CinemaChopShop handle. And what's your handle on there, Sean?
@AWindowlessVan.
And so it is the 164th day of the year. I'm on number 216.
I'm on 223.
All right. So my first one that I'll check in this week is going to be number 211. And it's called Three Christs. Three Christs. And it's a 2017 movie, but it's just recently become available for streaming. And it's about a psychotherapist played by Richard Gere who is treating three men at the same time who believe that they are Jesus. And two of the actors are Peter Dinklage and Walton Goggins. I can't remember the name of the third one. But in the process of putting these three guys in the same room and letting them talk it out, Richard Gere's character starts to have God delusions as well.
Wow.
So... that I'm going to say it's a recommend from me.
Cool. I have one check-in since I was called away this week, but also I'm also it's all Bollywood films, and they take up 2 to 4 hours. So I do have one Bollywood to add to the list. It's Uta Punjab.
Okay.
And here's my one-line review: drugs are bad, even in India. Okay.
Directed by Mike Judge?
Are the Parker and Stone? No, this is a kind of a serious tale, and it reminded me of that movie Crash, where it was like the effects of drugs on people from different angles.
Okay, yeah.
There are three distinct storylines happening here. Little background: the province, I guess you'd call it, of Punjab in India borders Pakistan, and apparently the border is porous, as in people are chucking drugs over the fence.
Oh, really?
Like there's a lot of drugs coming through. The cops are on the take in this film, and it starts out with a rock star who embodies the drug culture. And it's really cheesy. I highly recommend watching the first few minutes of this movie just to see the music number with this drug rock and roll star.
Interesting.
But it starts with his plot line of his fall from grace as drugs destroyed everything and his redemption story.
Okay.
That intertwines with the tale of a young girl who's a field worker, and she comes across 3 kilos of heroin.
Uh-oh.
And she very stupidly tries to sell it herself. And ends up being abducted by the drug lords and turned into their little bitch.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately. And so she intertwines with the rock star as he tries to get her out of her situation. Simultaneously, you have a young officer who is kind of conflicted with this whole cops on the take thing. And his brother is a casualty of the drug war. And he begins working with this social worker to try to help legitimately bring down both the corrupt cops and the drug trade in general. So it's big in scope, big in scale. It's got the melodrama that you would expect. And surprisingly, thanks to the rock star, it does have the music numbers you would expect from a Bollywood film.
Reminds me of a recent scenario I was in. Congratulated Amanda on her recent promotion to bar manager, and she said, "Thank you. Now you're my bitch."
Did she say that?
Yes.
I love it. I was late to the party on that news, and I was texting her. I said, "What's this I hear about a promotion?"
Yeah.
So we're gonna go ahead and pop open.
Sounds good.
A beer as you're enjoying yours. Since we are talking about India, I wanted an India Pale Ale because it is the most iconic beer and probably the most popular craft beer. And its origins root back to the colonization of India and the British officers and traders who wanted to have their beer in India. So they had to highly hop it to keep it from spoiling on the journey. So also from Parrish Brewing, this is their very popular beer, Ghost in the Machine. And I do believe this is a double IPA. So I'm going to go ahead and crack that open and pour it while you're telling us about your next check-in.
All right. My next one is number 213, and it's called Possessor from 2020. And it is the second feature film from Brandon Cronenberg, son of David Cronenberg. It's a very bloody psychedelic sci-fi horror about implants, mind control, and the inherent problems therein.
All the things you'd expect from a Cronenberg.
Exactly. And most of the reviews that I've seen about this, people are saying, oh yeah, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Because it does get into like the, you know, body horror and the, what was it we were talking about? The flesh.
Yeah, the new flesh. Mm-hmm. This is clearly one of my favorite movies of 2020 so far. Mm.
You've seen it? You watched Possessor?
Yeah, I checked that in a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And Chelsea did too. but it's great.
Yeah, but check that one out. Really weird. Not exactly a feel-good movie.
Oh, God, no. It's a feel-weird movie.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think about this beer?
I like it. Am I getting some lactose?
I don't think there's any lactose in it, but it is. It's a hazy IPA for sure. And they have fun with their beers. They do a lot of hop additions on several of theirs, and the labels reflect it. But this one, I think this is just the straight-up release. It was bottled less than a month ago, so it is still pretty fresh.
Very nice. 216, The Unicorn. I might be becoming a Lauren Lapkus devotee. This is not as unhinged of a performance as in The Wrong Missy, but it was still entertaining. It's about a couple who goes to visit his parents and discovers that their thing is threesomes. And so they're like, hey, we can do that. And it's kind of them going through the journey of opening Pandora's box.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the name of this one?
The Unicorn.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yes.
Gotcha.
All right. So that wraps us up for this week's edition of the 2020 Movie Marathon. And shall we go ahead and get into the second part of our feature segment?
Sure.
This is The Recast Continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Reduxed.
Dubbed over. This one is a lot less serious.
Oh, God, yes.
It is technically a remake of the horrible Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz movie Night and Day. And this one's called Bang Bang! Exclamation point. From 2014. It's only got a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is criminal.
Yeah, IMDb has it at 5.5 out of 10.
Okay.
I think that's probably more
that
accurate.
That is more accurate, yeah. Now, granted, this is not a award-caliber movie.
No, no. It is an over-the-top
action, shoot 'em up
action film, and I told you, it's like a James Bond movie on crack.
James Bond on coke is what you said.
Yes.
Yes. And that will actually play into my theme a little bit, but I'm going to reveal that at the end. So basic premise here, a chance encounter of the unassuming bank receptionist Harleen, played by Katrina Kaif, with the charming yet mysterious Rajveer Nanda, played by Hrithik Roshan, results in an onrush of ditched planes, car chases, shootouts, bombing raids, and general global mayhem.
Well, let's not forget the underwater, above water battle scene.
Yes.
Where she had the little jet scuba thing, and he was wearing the weird jet feet thing that were like shooting him up 12 feet above the waves.
Very much kind of looked like a anthropomorphized dolphin.
Yeah, there's that. And then of course, let's not forget the dance sequences. And also, there were multiple romance scenes in a row, and every single one was set up like the cover to an erotic novel.
Uh-huh, definitely. The Fabio romance novel
covers. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, these are all good comments, by the way. Don't get me wrong. This is a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, and they had a lot of fun with it.
But as the transcontinental chase ensues, Rajveer convincing Harleen that he's a good guy, can she really trust him? And will trust matter when the bullets start to fly? So it's an espionage story. It's a false identity story. It's a revenge story. It's an action. It's a romance. It's a comedy. It's crazy, crazy town.
I'm going to see if I missed anything on my notes.
While you're doing that, I'm
the other thing. The action was so over the top, I was yelling MacGruber at the screen frequently. This is the movie MacGruber wanted to be.
For sure. Well put. All right. So we've got Rajveer Nanda, who's our main character, the hero of the movie, a.k.a. Jai, J-A-I, and he was played by Hrithik Roshan, who was 40 at the time. We've got Harleen Sani, played by Katrina Kaif, who's 30 at the time. We've got the henchman Zorawar Kalra, played by Pawan Malhotra. And then we've got Omar Zafar, the big bad, our arch villain, a international terrorist, played by Danny Denzangpa, who was 66 at the time. Shall we get into it?
Let's do.
All right, first up, we've got Rajveer. And who were you thinking for this lead hero role?
All right, I picked a guy who's 40 years old as well. And I wanted somebody who I wanted to see in that ridiculous water jet thing, the ocean battle. And I think that he is a bit of an action star in his own right in the DC Comics universe. But I would love to see him playing this part. He started out with some Stargate Atlantis work, but everyone knows him from Conan the Barbarian remake, as well as Justice League and Aquaman. I went with Jason Momoa.
Yeah, nice.
I would love to see Momoa in this part.
Yeah, man, he would do it too.
Oh, do we want to mention the actor's deformity?
So, I guess it was very off-putting because
distracting.
They don't really work it into the story other than as like a prop. But he's got a deformity on his finger.
Thumb,
where it looks like he had like an extra thumb and then it was like melded back together. Looks like a fleshy bottle opener. And at one point in the movie, he does use it as a bottle opener.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
But I don't know
if that's real or not. Do you think it was prosthetic?
That had to be real. Why would you put that in there and not make it part of the story?
I don't know. All right, so my actor is 40 now as well. He played Jody on Shameless. He's also in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Black Sails, and Dracula Untold. His name is Zach McGowan. And as you can see, he's pretty ripped for a 40-year-old.
He sure is. So is Momoa.
Yeah. Yep.
That was another criteria.
Yeah, yep. he has to be jacked. Next, we've got Harleen Sani, who is the reluctant love interest. And the dog would like to chime in on this.
My dog, Scout, would like to give us his pick.
So Katrina Kaif was 30 at the time. And who did you see in this role?
All right, so riding high on the DC Comics wave for my hybrid-themed recast, I went with an actress who is 35 years old. And she was in the movie Virtuosity.
Oh.
The Wedding Ringer. She started out in the TV show Eight Simple Rules and got to be well-known in The Big Bang Theory, but can currently be heard as the voice of one Harleen Quinzel, a.k.a. Harley Quinn, and with Kaley Cuoco.
Very interesting. Now, she's the voice in the animated Harley Quinn.
Which is a series that I recommend because it took me a few episodes to get into their humor, because it is a little off-putting. It's very blue.
Gotcha.
But it's good. It's a good story, and I recommend that.
All right. My actress is also 35 now. She's going to be in the upcoming Death on the Nile, which is the follow-up to Murder on the Orient Express. She's in Keeping Up with the Joneses and Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Her name is Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot is going to be the female lead in my remake of Bang Bang. Next up, we've got the henchman, who was played by Pawan Malhotra, who's 55 at the time, and the character's name is Zorawar Kalra. And what are you thinking for this one, Sean?
I went with an actor who was 52 years old and is British. He was in the film Layer Cake.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Knives Out.
Uh-huh.
And he's James Bond.
He's James Bond.
It's Daniel Craig.
All right.
I wanted to give James Bond a chance to play the villain in this crazy-ass James Bond-y kind of movie.
It's really interesting that you went there, because my Zorawar Kalra is an actor who's 54 now. He was in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. He was in Valhalla Rising. He was in the TV show Hannibal. And he was also the villain in Casino Royale opposite Daniel Craig. I went with Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen is great.
He's so the man.
The listeners can't see. I got my thumbs up for that one. That was
Thank
a good
you,
pick.
Sir. All right, now we've got our big bad, the Omar Zafar, played by Danny Denzangpa, who was 66 at the time. And who did you decide on for this, Sean?
I had him at 72, but I was also riding in a car when I was calculating age, so I might be very wrong. But I went with a 74-year-old actor.
Interesting.
He could be seen in the film Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He could also be seen in the film Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
He could also be seen in the TV series Doom Patrol, Penny Dreadful. But people might know him from James Bond,
yes,
License to Kill, and The Living Daylights. I went with Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton!
He's a great villain.
Yeah, he is.
He is very good.
He was also the bad guy in The Rocketeer.
That's right.
All right, well, my actor is also 66. He's been in a ton of things. One of his most critically acclaimed performances was in the revisionist Western Tombstone. He's also very flamboyant in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, not to be confused with Bang Bang. He's also played Billy the Kid in a made-for-TV movie. And of course, he was Batman in Batman Forever. He always is wearing a cravat these days. I went with Val Kilmer.
He's your Huckleberry.
He is, yes. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know, with his health issues and throat stuff going on. But then I looked at the character we're recasting. He's constantly wearing a cravat. So, did you pick up on my theme?
No, it's kind of scrambling for yours.
So earlier in the week, we were talking about this movie, Bang Bang, and you mentioned that it was like James Bond on coke. And it reminded me of a recent rabbit hole that I went down on the internet. And in the 1960s, there was a series of unauthorized crossover movies from all over the place. Sometimes they were from the Philippines, sometimes the States. But the first one was called James Batman, and it's a mashup of James Bond and Batman. The next one is Batman Fights Dracula.
Oh my God.
And then finally, Billy the Kid versus Dracula. Oh my
God. I love it.
So that was the influence for my God. Recast on this
That's
one.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
The Batman Fights Dracula is considered a lost film. You can't find it. But James Batman is on, I think, either Daily Motion or archive.org.
Oh, that's cool. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Hey, before we jump to the next segment,
okay,
I'm going to pop open one more beer.
What do we got?
This is from Chandelier Island Brewing in Mississippi. This is the Cherry Lane Black Cherry Sour Ale. So
before we move on to our final segment, I want to say, if you're looking for a good time, Bang Bang. That's my recommendation on that.
Would definitely bang.
Would smash. Okay, for our final bonus segment, we're going to have a battle royale between three warrior slash hero characters from Bollywood. We've got Ranveer Singh as Baji Rao, Shah Rukh Khan as Ashoka, and Hrithik Roshan, a.k.a. Bang Bang, as Akbar. Now, a little bit of background information on these
characters. Yeah, I'm going to need some help.
Baji Rao, these are all historical figures, by the way. Baji Rao I was a general of the Maratha Empire in India. He served as the Peshwa to the 4th Maratha Chhatrapati Sahu from 1720 until his death. Baji Rao was Peshwa in the Ashtra Padran of Shahu. He is known by the name of Baji Rao. Baji Rao I is credited with expanding the Maratha Empire in India. Then we've got Ashoka, also known as Ashoka the Great. He was an Indian emperor of the Maurya dynasty. He ruled almost all of the Indian subcontinent from 268 to 232 BCE, the grandson of the founder of the Maurya dynasty, Ashoka promoted the spread of Buddhism across Asia. And then finally, Akbar the Great, also known as Akbar I, was the third Mughal empire who reigned from 1556 to 1605. Akbar succeeded his father, Humayun, under a regent who helped the young emperor expand and consolidate the Mughal domains in India. So they're three badasses.
Yeah, yeah. I think Ashoka sounds like the most badass to
Yeah,
me.
He does.
I'm going to go with Ashoka.
I'm going with Akbar because it's the same actor from Bang Bang.
He uses that thumb on his opponents. Yes.
All right, so let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah,
we have no guests to thank this week, but we do hope that Chelsea's feeling better for next week's episode. I want to thank my co-host and co-producer, the engineer for this episode. Thank you, Sean. And is there anything that you want to plug this week?
Well, we had a great turnout for the first week of Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
Hell yeah. That was a good turnout.
I'm very thankful for everybody, and hopefully they remember to tune in to hear our trivia question for next week's episode.
And also, what is next week's episode, Sean?
Revisionist Westerns.
Revisionist Westerns. All right, so there's two movies about a Western outlaw that came out the same year. We've already mentioned one of them, Tombstone, starring Kurt Russell. What was the other movie that came out?
Young Guns.
No.
No, okay, wait.
Here's a clue. It's starring Kevin Costner.
Yes. Oh.
Here's another clue. It's just the historical figure's name.
I'm terrible with Westerns.
Wyatt Earp.
Oh.
Wyatt Earp came out the same year as Tombstone. So that will be your free sneak preview question and answer for this week's upcoming edition of Trivia. And with that, we want to go ahead and wrap it up. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher app it is that you're hearing us. We are online, hosted natively on cinemachopshop.podbean.com. We're on Twitter. We're at cinemachopshop, facebook.com/cinemachopshop. Our email is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And the beers that we checked in today, we'll check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. Finally, thank you to you, the listeners. Please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
Tip your waiters.
Yep.
At the Indian restaurant.